Today I'm going to present on an assessment and the techniques that were used to conduct an assessment in the city of Harrisonburg in Rockingham County in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, about 2 hours south from here. I want to first talk about the Healthy Community Council and what our mission has been. We're a community-based organization composed of representatives from nearly 70, almost to 100 different entities. Some of those include the local hospital, the Department of Social Services, the health department, even the local sheriff's department, and several academic. We have about 3 or 4 universities in the area. One of our missions, or our mission has been, to enhance the quality of life for the community through collaborative efforts of individuals, agencies, and institutions. And our vision has been to assess the community needs, identify areas of priority around those needs, help plan and coordinate initiatives, getting community input, and evaluate those initiatives. We did an assessment in 1996, 2001, and again in 2006. And what I'm going to report on today is mostly the data from the 2006 assessment. Our overall process was that we formed an assessment group from the larger Healthy Community Council committee. Then we established kind of the goals and objectives, and this started back in the spring of 2005. And as you can imagine, when you have that many community members involved in an assessment, it gets hard to figure out, you know, what is our agenda and trying to make sure that, again, we're looking at the big picture. One of the first steps was to gather and reviewed community assessments across the country. We spent about 6 months looking at other assessments. Two that really emerged were ones from Jacksonville, Florida, and Marin County, California. They really are pretty well established, have done it for a while, and have a good method. And so we really wanted to look at, more importantly, what did they assess as far as indicators, health indicators, and their process as far as the methodology. After reviewing that, we also reviewed the 2001 assessment, a little bit of the 1996 Healthy Community Council assessment, and we decided that the 2001 was not an integrated process. They had two assessment instruments, one for individuals 64 and under, and one from 65 and older. And so we decided this year we really wanted to integrate the process and have just one assessment for all of adults. In getting started, we developed the assessment categories and the indicators. And again, this took about 6 months to do this, to actually decide what do we want to measure and how do we actually want to measure that. We obtained feedback on indicators at a Healthy Community Council quarterly meeting. We have a quarterly meeting where, again, we have a close to 70 to 100 community representatives present. And that process was quite interesting. We had spent probably 4 of those 6 months coming out with nearly 400 indicators, looking at, again, assessments from all over the country. And we went to this Healthy Community Council meeting in October of 2005 and said, okay, what do you want us to measure? What will benefit you? And I'm going to tell you towards the end, but the 2001 assessment brought in nearly $11 million to our community from the data, and the data was used for grants and contracts to bring that money in. We identified indicators either as survey items, items that we were going to include on the assessment instrument, or what we considered existing or secondary data, data that was out there. For example, the teen pregnancy rate is relatively high in Harrisburg. We didn't need to assess that on an instrument. We can find that from the Virginia Department of Health. We generated assessment survey items. And again, throughout this process, we got community feedback from our community leaders. We pilot tested the assessment instrument with community individuals, not leaders, but just people within the community, to see about reading level, the items and questions themselves, the responses that we were there. It was a multiple choice kind of questionnaire, had 50-some items on it. We had it professionally printed, so it was very nice. I'll talk about that in a minute. The assessment categories that emerged, this is, again, the first 6 months, still in the spring to summer of 2005, and actually into the fall of 2005. It was a long process. We came up with 7 categories after much, much discussion, again, with community individuals. And the one I'm going to give the results on today is just the health and wellness. Again, there's extensive amount of data. And of course, all seven of those do contribute to quality of life. The methodology, we did obtain an Institutional Review Board approval at the institution that I work at, or the university that I work at. We had students, health science students, I gave them my epidemiology and environmental health students extra credit, which of course they love, to help give, to call the participants. And what we did was we had a telephone script. We called about approximately 3,000 names and obtained feedback, asked them, you know, would you participate in this survey? And if they said yes, we mailed them the survey. We had two different methodologies for this assessment. We had an English-speaking population assessment, and then we had a Latino population assessment, two different assessments. We actually had three, but I'm not going to talk about the youth assessment today. The sampling, we purchased, again, 3,000 names from Survey Sampling International. We used stratified random sampling techniques based on zip code within the community. Again, we had a city of about 40-some thousand individuals if you use the census data, and then we had the county, which had probably a little over 65, 70,000 individuals. And so we divided the county, which is pretty large as far as geographical area, into four regions and did the stratification that way by zip code again. We mailed out about 1,645 packets. We got 684 returned. We had a sampling error about 3.8% if you use Don Dillman's method to calculate that. And we had a response rate of about 42%. If you look at some of the survey methodology, if you just send out surveys, you anticipate about getting 20% back. But the calling really did help in increasing our response rate to 42%. So we were really excited. Again, this is community. The data analysis, we scanned the surveys. The reason why we spent so much time in developing that instrument, the assessment instrument, and having it properly printed is that we didn't want to hand enter data. We wanted to have it scanned, and so we had someone actually program and have the instrument so that we could scan it into, have it into Excel, then download it into SPSS. We just conducted descriptive analysis, frequencies, and cross-tabulations. We disseminated the data back to the action team, again, back to the community, to community leaders, that had certain specifications as far as their background expertise, if you will, to review and interpret the data. And then we hired a technical writer to finalize the report, and we ended up with a pretty good report. It was pretty well written. We have a website that has the actual data on there. You can download yourself in SPSS. We have the report, and then we have the instrument available. For the Latino assessment, again, changing gears a little bit, we purchased 1,000 names from Survey Sampling International. We conducted the assessment via telephone, so it was a little bit different methodology. Instead of sending out the assessment, we were concerned that if we sent out any kind of survey or assessment that we would not get a good response rate. So we actually did the assessment via telephone. We utilized the Spanish-speaking callers in our community. We have actual individuals that work with the Latino population that speak Spanish, and so we were able to use them to actually do the assessment via telephone. We used a modified version of the English-speaking assessment. We could not ask 52-some questions via telephone, so we used a modified version of it. Again, we got feedback with the Latino community, the leaders within the community that work with individuals to actually get some input on this. We entered and analyzed the data, and again, by then it was SPSS 14.0. We were into the latter part of 2006. We had about 266 that completed the survey, which again, in our community, was we felt like it was a pretty good response. The demographics of the English-speaking, and we broke it down into two categories, 64 and under and then 65 and above, but the individuals 64 and under, we had a majority of our participation with individuals 45 to 64 with 46% in that age range. 46% were male, 78% were married, 11% had incomes below $25,000, 17% had incomes $35,000 to $50,000. In looking at the population 65 and older, we had nearly 30%, and that was a big concern from the beginning when we started this process back in 2005. We had several individuals that worked with this age population and was concerned that we would not have enough representation from that age population, being that it was an integrated process. So we were very happy with the overall outcome. 41% were male, 59% were married, 36% lived alone, and you can look at the incomes. The demographics of the Latino population, one thing that we were concerned about, you can look and see that the age population, we only got 2% in the 65 and older, but we did look at the census data and we found that was very close to the census data as far as within our community representation. 38% were male, 59% were married, 34% had incomes below $15,000, 36% had incomes between $15,000 and $25,000. The rest is just kind of an overview of the data that emerged, again, just from the assessment category of health. There's, again, 7 overall categories. But we felt like overall when we asked the question about your general health status, it increased somewhat from the 2001 assessment. And we weren't able to do a lot of longitudinal, and I'll talk about it with the limitations, comparisons with the 2001 assessment because we changed the assessment instrument in 2006 remarkably from the 2001. It was one of the few questions we could do a comparison with 2001 data. But we did see that the 2006 overall health status did increase slightly. We tried when possible to compare our data with state data, national data, and more particularly with Healthy People 2010. The health conditions, we were looking at, okay, how bad are we as far as health conditions? And you can see the adults and seniors, their cholesterol and blood pressure were significantly above, above the Healthy People 2010 goals. Latinos were not. Diabetes, we had all the adult seniors and Latinos above the Healthy People 2010 goal. For physical activity and health behaviors, we looked at actually two big areas. Physical activity, we asked, did you exercise five or more days per week for at least 30 minutes? And we gave them other options to pick from. All of adult seniors and Latinos were above the Healthy People 2010 goal of 30%. And if you look at aging stats for the seniors for 2006, it was very close, 20%, and their aging stats was 22%. In nutrition, 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables were asked, 5 or more days per week. And we had, again, significantly lower from the Healthy People 2010 goals. From preventive services, which is where we're a little concerned because we're trying to, again, a lot of the people on the Health and Community Council are trying to provide services to the community, and they need to know what do they need to provide, who do they need to reach, do we need to increase health education, and to what population do we need to increase it. And so the red is indicating, again, areas where we are below the Healthy People 2010. This is preventive services. And we had two questions, services that you received within the last 12 months and then services you received within the last 5 years. And so you can see that blood pressure for adults, and this is adults 64 and under, and seniors are 65 and over, blood pressure, PAP tests, blood cholesterol testing, mammograms, and this is for people, individuals 40 and older, blood stool, were all lower than the Healthy People 2010 goal. So, and looking at preventive services sought within the last 5 years, because a lot of these you would not get on an annual basis, the pneumonia shot was relatively low, colonoscopies were low. So again, this kind of helps our providers in finding out what do we need to provide and what kind of education, and more in particular, we need to provide to who. Prenatal care was a big issue as far as the Latino population. We asked, when were you seen during your pregnancy, first seen for prenatal care? And among the adults, of course, seniors were not evaluated in this. Adults, 95%, which were above the Healthy People 2010 goal of 90%. Latinos was 83%. Low birth weight, if you look at it, Virginia rate was 1.6 in 2004. This is existing data. We did not ask this in the assessment. 1.7% in 2001. And Harrisonburg and Rockingham County is up there. They're still above the Healthy People 2010 goal of 0.9%. In conclusion, adults and seniors, there needs to be more emphasis on health behaviors to educate chronic health conditions or to reduce chronic health conditions such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes, and more in particular, engaging in preventive services. The Latinos, more education on preventive services overall, and in particular in women's health. We noticed with mammograms and pap smears were relatively low compared to Healthy People 2010 goals, and prenatal care, seeking it in the first trimester, was relatively low. Some of the limitations, again, this is cross-sectional data. Again, we were getting community feedback and trying to, I don't want to say please the community, but trying to meet the needs of those within the community. The use of landlines is something that's coming up in survey research. especially cellular telephones are coming up in certain age populations. More and more people are getting rid of landlines, and of course we used telephones calling individuals prior to sending out the survey. Access to those with low literacy levels, mobility issues, and vision problems. I wasn't around for the 2001 assessment, but apparently they did indicate when they called, you know, if you had a condition that would make it hard for you to complete the assessment on your own, that they would provide, I think they had nursing students go out and actually do that. We didn't indicate that this year, so I think when we do it again in 2011, we're always looking at things that we could do better. We may actually put in a sentence in the when we call and say that we would, you know, send somebody out there. We don't have a lot of resources to do that, and it is, of course, time-consuming. So, but it's something that we did want to think about for the future. Longitudinal limitations, again, we would have loved to been able to compare, you know, 96, 2001, 2006 data, but because the assessment significantly changed this year to kind of mimic almost the National Health Interview Survey in some of the question format, we weren't able to do a lot of longitudinal data looking at, you know, what are our trends overall. And so we hope as we keep growing and doing this that we will be able to have longitudinal data to actually look back and see what are we doing well and what could we do a better job of. And then kind of the outcomes. Again, this is from the 2001 data. The 2006 data just really got off the press, and so we haven't been able to really look at the outcomes from the use of that data. But from the 2001 data, they were able to bring in, this is community individuals who work, again, for a lot of social services, provide services to individuals in the community, was able to bring in over $11 million for in contracts and grants to provide services in the community. We were able to develop a community resource center. One of the things, again, that came out of the 2001 data was that, you know, there's information all throughout the community, but there's no one place to get it. It was very somewhat disorganized, and so we developed a community resource center that actually brought all of it, one-stop shopping, basically, for someone, say, moving into the community, and they need to get their children in daycare, and they need to, you know, find work, they need to find a place to live. And so one place where people can go within the community to get all that information. And then Generations Crossing, which is a program that, again, emerged from the data from 2001, saying that seniors need a place to go during the day. They don't need assisted living at this point. They don't need a nursing home at this point. And so they developed this this program called Generations Crossings, where seniors go for the day, and then kids go like a daycare center, and they integrate it. So, and it's been so far, I haven't seen any evaluation data, but from what I've heard, the program seems to be working well. So these are just some examples of the things that we're working on. From the 2006 data, we're currently working on developing a community health center and have applied for federal funding for that. And one particular thing, which I didn't present in this one, but I will be presenting this afternoon, is the mental health data was quite interesting in our community. We seem to be having declining in mental health issues, or having more mental health issues. And so our community health center will have a mental health component, which is apparently something that's unusual in many community health centers. So we're kind of excited about that. Not excited about the fact that we have mental health problems, but so that's kind of and that's slated for January 2008. And again, we've been having community people work in developing that. And I think that the grant that we applied for requires that 51% of the board for the community health center be community people, not necessarily community leaders, but people that use the center. So we're excited about that. And again, we plan to track the grants and contracts brought in from the use of data from the 2006. I didn't bring my chart, but we have a really neat chart, again, from the 2001 that shows what data was used, you know, actually the item numbers that was used for that grant to actually get money for whatever program they were running. So I'd like to thank the assessment committee. These are individuals, again. We all did this, as many of you probably do, kind of on the side as our, I guess, hobby. We weren't paid for it. It was kind of out of our own pocket, basically. And then if you have any questions, I really would love you to visit the website. It's healthycommunitycouncil.org. It's on the handouts. Again, it has the assessment instrument, the data. You can download it. I know some people have been interested in comparing it maybe to their community, if it's very similar to our community, those kind of things, and just looking at it. And there's my email address. Thank you.